Enjoying Acts and Luke, as we suggested last week, it'd be a great idea if you would get an opportunity to read Luke's gospel along with Acts. But before we get into today's study on Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to the end, let's pray. Let's just come before the Lord and pray for one another and pray for Cascades and look forward to Tuesday nights. Look forward to Wednesday night. We're going to be together. Won't that be wonderful? Brothers and sisters in Christ praying for the future of our assembly. Brothers and sisters in Christ with their friends working together for the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can have this barbecue today, and we just pray that as we sit around and chat and talk and enjoy one another's company, that we will be blessed, but that you will be blessed also. We pray for the elderly in our assembly, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Jeff and his lovely wife. We pray for Ann McClellan. We pray for John, Wendy's dad. And we pray for George Rich, Heavenly Father, and others, Danielle and his wife. And there's so many. And we thank you for their gray hair amongst us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the balance of old and young and middle age that we have here at Cascades Gospel Chapel. And we just pray for them. We pray for our fall activities, Heavenly Father, that you will bless. And as we meet together, we pray together, we study together, we read together, we work together, we pray that we might enjoy one another's company. We pray also for the construction next door, Heavenly Father, as Alex works alongside them and talks to them. And we just pray, Lord, that we might be a great witness to all the construction people who are there and all the people that will be coming after to rent the facilities. We pray for our leadership, and we thank you for them, Heavenly Father. We pray that you might continue to bless them as they make decisions, as they plan and organize, as they strategize for this coming fall and winter. We pray for our missionaries, Carl and Shirley and Jurgen and Wendy. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray for this particular time as we open up your word, Lord, that it will be very practical and that we might get a blessing from it, and we'll give you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful to be together. Last week, I won't do a full revision because the hot dogs and hamburgers are waiting for us outside. And once we start getting that smell up here, you're not going to listen to me anyway. But let's look over. We talked about walking and talking. We walk the talk. And we showed that from Acts chapter 1 in the first verses there. We are to walk the talk. We are to do what God tells us to do, and we aren't just to talk about it, we are to walk it. Then we talked about that you've been chosen. Each and every one of you who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ has been chosen. And we gave evidence from Acts chapter 1. And then we went on and we talked about sent. We are sort of modern day apostles, sent ones. We're sent out to our neighborhood. And we're sent out to our friends and relatives. And then we went on and we talked about kingdom builders. We are part of the kingdom, building the kingdom. And then the one that I had trouble with, as many of you know, is that we are to wait upon the Lord. We're not going to run ahead of him. We're not supposed to lag behind him. We are to walk with God. And I trust that today's message will be as practical as I hope it was last week, and that you'll be challenged. Let's look at the verses. Open up your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And if you have it on your phone, read it on your phone. If you have it in your iPad, read it on your iPad. But look at yours. I have it on the screen for the visitors that might not have one of these devices or have the Bible. But it might be a little different in yours. That doesn't mean that's wrong or right. It's just another translation from the original Greek. I'm reading from a translation from the original Greek. It's not a paraphrase. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Following along. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set these dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me wherever, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into the clouds while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood amongst them. "Men of Galilee," they said, why are you standing here? Why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday, he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Are you looking forward to that day? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. The way we're going to tackle this subject is we're going to talk first a little bit about prayer, because we have it here. We have it here. We'll see it. Then we're going to talk about Jesus. Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? Practical. He might be your Savior, that you accepted him at one moment of your life, but does he rule? Is he the boss? Is he the gerente? Is he the boss, the most important person who guides and directs you? Then we're going to talk about the power we have. Woo! We've got power! I just woke two of you up. I saw you sleeping. That's why I did that. No, I'm only kidding. But we have that power. We have that power. And we're going to talk about that. And then we'll close off about Jesus' return. You know, the apostles repeatedly asked about restoration of the kingdom to Israel. This is very interesting. A lot of different comments about it. Because the disciples of Jesus didn't quite understand everything. Now, we have it. We have it in our tablets, or we have it in our phones, or we have it in our Bibles. We have the answer. But they were hoping that Jesus would start the kingdom on earth and wipe out the Roman Empire, because they were suppressing the Jewish people, and to start the kingdom there. But Jesus wants us to build a spiritual kingdom, not here on earth. Not here on earth. But you know, it's all with Jesus. You know, we are to walk with God. We are to go along with his ideas. We are to go along with his plan. We are going to go along with his strategies, and we only find that if we get into the Word of God faithfully. Those who walk with God always reach their destinations. And what is your destination? My destination is in heaven, where God is. My destination is to sit down with Dave Wood, known to some of you. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Jackie. I'm looking forward to sitting down with all of my dear friends that have gone on, and I know where they are because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are with God. They're with Jesus. And it's not a kingdom on earth, it's a kingdom in heaven. And we are to work towards that. Wait for the Lord is a daily adventure. It's adventurous. Are you waiting on the Lord? Our scripture here gives us very clear. So when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him, and when are you going to start your restore our kingdom? Our kingdom. It's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. They were thinking about themselves. You know, even when they were with Jesus, some of them wanted to sit with Jesus, one on the left and one on the right, and they wanted to reign with Jesus here on earth. And when you see this verse and you see what, you know, that talking about restore our kingdom, O-U-R, it's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. And we are to walk. It's an adventure. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's not easy. It's not easy to walk with God. At least I don't find it that easy, because sometimes I want to go to the left, or I want to go to the right. Sometimes I run ahead of God. Sometimes I lag behind. But as we see here, the disciples didn't understand, but we understand. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again that we're to walk with Jesus. He is our master. He is our king. He is our example. Yes? Lord, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom of Israel? It wasn't if, but when. They believed God. They believed Jesus. And we don't have to say if, it's when. And I trust that you are looking forward to that. It is important to note that the apostles were not asking Jesus. They were not asking, are you doing what? Or asking, are you going to restore? When? That's important. They did have confidence in Jesus. And I hope you have confidence in Jesus. Jesus is coming again. And if I could sing, I would sing, coming again, coming again. Won't that be a wonderful time? He is coming again. We don't know when, but are you ready? Are you watching? Are you praying? Are you working towards, as we said last week, the kingdom? God is so wonderful to us. And he is coming back, and he's going to restore the kingdom. But we are to working towards a spiritual kingdom, telling men and women about Jesus. So when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him. They asked him. I like that. Ask Jesus. Do not let your heart be troubled, it says in the Bible. We are to ask Jesus, the importance of prayer. We have it right here, practical prayer. Ask Jesus. You know, I read a lot of commentaries and listened to a lot of sermons on this. And you know, it's very interesting. Because we are to ask. You're going to say, no, this is too trivial. This is not important. Jesus won't listen to me on this. We are to ask Jesus everything. Just like when we were young and we asked our parents. But even more so, we should be asking Jesus. Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer, even more so. So when we see the disciples here asking Jesus, that's a good thing. Some people comments on that is that they were wrong in doing so. But many of the commentaries say, no, we have to ask. I asked Jesus to save my brother for 28 years. 28 years I asked my Lord and Savior to save my brother Jerry. 28 years. You're going to say, boy, you're patient. No, no, I wasn't that patient as I should be. But the Lord saved him after 28 years. We are to ask. We are to go on before the Lord and ask. Ask, it says in the Word of God, and ye shall receive. Jesus did not get after them. I don't see anywhere in this chapter or other that Jesus got after them for asking. He said it wasn't their right, wasn't for them to know when, but he doesn't get after them. He says, you're not supposed to ask that question. Be quiet. Don't ask me that question. You've got nothing to do with yours. Only the Father. No way, Jose. He listened to them. And when I read this over and over and again, I get excited to see that the disciples asked. We don't have to ask because we know it's not for us to know, but we can certainly be assurance like they did when it's going to happen. But we know it's going to happen. He's proven himself in my life, and I'm sure in your life, over and over and over again. And my prayer for you that you will ask, and that's why we're coming together on Tuesday nights to ask and ask and ask the Lord to bless this assembly. Wouldn't it be wonderful that after 3 weeks of praying that the heavens open up and just people start coming in? We have been sent. We have been chosen. Now it's for us to pray and do what God wants us to do. The next point, of course, is Lord. says here, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel? Lord. Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means master, owner, mighty power, possessor, the supreme one, one who is sovereign. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or epoch when the Father has fixed but his own authority. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he the master of your life? Is he the supreme one of your life? Is he the person in control of your life? And that's what this tells us when you look at the Word. When you look at the Word. And if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to give him all of our life. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd love to talk to you after. They'll keep a hamburger and a hot dog for us. Don't worry. There's lots of them out there. If you haven't said in your life at one time, Lord, come into my life, come in today, come in to stay, come into my life, Lord Jesus. If you've never said, Lord, I accept your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for my sin, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to take the Bible and open up the Bible and just show you in the Bible how that you can be a part of the family of God. How that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd love to do that. And you'd be part of the family of God. You'd be a child of God. And he would give you a gift. And that gift we're going to talk about today. That gift is the Holy Spirit. And he is wonderful. He has helped me for over 60 years. Yes. 63 years to be exact. And he's given me some discipline. He has given me some lessons that maybe I don't like. But as I read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Why does he speak to me? Because I'm a child of God, and he wants me to walk the walk. He doesn't just want me to talk the walk. And it's so wonderful to have him in your life, and he really encourages us. I can remember years ago at the old Cascades, I'd be sitting here on the left-hand side with Johnny DeRosio, 10-year-old kid, watching these adults spend a whole hour, no music in those days, and worshiping God. And you can enjoy that worshiping God. Maybe the worship meeting is boring to you. Maybe it's not interesting to you. But, you know, once you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to enjoy it. It's not boring. People say to me, well, at Cascades, do you have a choir? Oh, do you have a band or an orchestra? Do you have stained glass windows? I said, yeah, we got blue and yellow. They said, do you have? No. I said, we have the Holy Spirit. What else do we need? We've got the Holy Spirit if you've got Jesus. Because Jesus gave it, the Father gave it to us. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift. We don't talk about it much because it's such exaggerated in the world today, but it is so important. The Spirit of God is our helper. And that's what the Spirit of God means. The Holy Spirit means helper. And he came upon them, it says, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes. He has given us. We don't have to cry out to God. I've been to meetings when they say you have to just say, Abba, 1,000 times and the Holy Spirit will come into your life. No, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. That's a gift from the Father. Do you want that gift? You can ask for it this morning. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and you'll have that gift. And then you'll have that power, as it says up here on the screen. A.C. Dixon said, when we rely upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we get what God can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6 and flunked grade 8 twice. You got to be pretty stupid. I can say that about myself. I know it's not politically correct. But when I got on track with Jesus, when I got on in order with Jesus, boom, things changed in my life. I can do all, hey, je parle français. Can you imagine me speaking French when I can't even speak English right? Je parle espagnol. Can you imagine me speaking Spanish when I can't even speak French right? I mean, God is so wonderful. I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago with Ian, and we had so much fun with a Mexican. And we told hundreds of people about Jesus because the Holy Spirit worked through me. He gave me the language. And he can do the same thing for you. Maybe it's not a language question. Maybe it's other questions. Roger said they wanted to talk about prophecy. That's what the disciples, when they talked about the kingdom and when the kingdom is going to come, they wanted to talk about prophecy. But what Jesus wanted to talk about, proclamation. It's not prophecy, it's proclamation. It's telling others about Jesus through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we get that faith in us and we have the Holy Spirit in us, whoa, we can do for wonderful things. I got an email this week from one of our members. I won't mention Song's name. Oh, sorry. Anyway, he was so excited. He sent me a video of a fella on one of the SkyTrain stations preaching. Now that takes nerve. He was proclaiming the truths of God at the SkyTrain stations. And a song took a picture of it and he sent it to me. And he was rejoicing. Did I ever rejoice too? Do we have the nerve? Do we have the power? We have the power in us. We've got to let that power work through us. People say you have to ask for the Holy Spirit. You have to cry out to God for the Holy Spirit. They talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but being full of the Holy Spirit. No, we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's up to us because we're not robots. It's up to us to allow that Spirit to work through us. He wants to. He wants to. John Stott says, before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. The same order must be observed today. Let me read that. I love that. Before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. We have the Spirit. Now we've got to go to the world. We've got to go to the world. It concerns a person, a power, and a program. In that order. The person is the Holy Spirit. The power and the program is to proclaim. We can talk about prophecy. We can say if we pre-mill, pre-trib, dispensation. We can talk all about those things. But the thing that we have here in Acts chapter 1 is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus, on whose authority the church acts and who is the object of its witness. Jesus is the one we talk about. John the Baptist says, voici, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's our message too. We are to tell the people around us, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we can do it if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through our life. Sure, we get scared. We're humans. I still, when I stand on the corner with the Gideon Bibles and the kids are coming out of the school and I'm passing out the Bible, I perspire. I'm weak. I'm of flesh. But the Holy Spirit gives me that desire to do that because the kids will read the Word of God and they'll come to know Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely indispensable or essential for the mission. And we have that. The program that began at Jerusalem moved out to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, God might not call you to the ends of the earth. As we said in the outset, this was the theme verse, this was the logo, this was the our goal, my wife and I, when we first got married, to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And that's why we worked around Vancouver and so on. And then in Judea and all the province of British Columbia. And then Samaria to Argentina, to Quebec. And then to the other parts of the world. You know, I like this story. Look at those, eh? Powerful. Powerful. I heard a story about an American taking a friend from England to see the Niagara Falls. You should really see the Iguazu Falls. They're 20 times bigger than that, but we won't go there because these are powerful too. But anyway, this English fella looked at the Niagara Falls, and his friend said, now, he said, this is the greatest unused power in the world. That's what was said. These falls, that was the most powerful thing that hasn't been used in the world. And the guy that was showing him was around said, no, the greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of a living God. I mean, can you imagine the power that we have? Yes, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's exciting. And we have it. Yes, we are baptized, we are filled, we are full of the Holy Spirit. I like this little thing. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. We must allow Jesus because we have the power. We've got the power. I looked that up and I saw a lot of interesting things which I don't have time to go over, but we've got the power. We've got the power in us. We've got to just let that power out. Let Jesus work through your life. Let Jesus use you, all of us in different ways. Why do I say this is the need of the hour? One thing, without the Spirit, there is no conversion. The Spirit is the one that convicted me of my sins. I was at Anvil Island Bible Camp, 10 years old, and they were giving their testimony around a fire, and I was convicted. I said, ooh, as a young kid of 10 years old, I was convicted that I was a sinner. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned. And I heard that in Sunday school at Cascades when I was 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. Now I'm 10 years old, up at camp. It took the Holy Spirit, it took me to realize the Holy Spirit was working in me, and I was convicted. So it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my conversion. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know, I think maybe what Ron is saying is something that I haven't accepted. Maybe I really haven't put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Alex is here. Ian's here. I'm here. There's others. Come and talk to us. Don't be shy. Don't be backwards about being forward. Let's get this regulated today. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't push him off. Without the Spirit, there will be no conversions. I'm converted. I'm born again. I'm regenerated today because of the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. Without the Spirit, there will be no spiritual growth. I hope I'm growing. It says we are to grow in grace. And I believe that as I read the Word of God, as the Spirit speaks to me, I hope I'm growing. And the only way we're going to grow spiritually if we get into the Word of God. Without the Spirit, all preaching and witness is in vain. The Holy Spirit. The last point is the ascension of Jesus. You know, I like this picture. I don't know how biblical it is, but you know, John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And that where I am, there you will maybe also. Are you looking forward to it? Can you imagine the homecoming? Can you imagine the homecoming of the Son? Can you imagine God up there receiving his Son? Now Jesus is up there waiting to receive you and I, and we have eternity with God if we accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died. The Son's reception into the clouds was, in a sense, a sign of the Father's approval. It was a divine homecoming. And I just think of when Jackie died, and I think of others who've died this last year, and I could just see the Father, welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Are you looking forward to it? Are you sure of it? I know, I'm positive of it. You know, if Jesus didn't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would not come to you. And if I depart, I will send him to you. John 16:7. Yes, I can just see it. What a reunion that's going to be when we go to heaven. Angels give prophecy of Jesus' second coming. And I'm not going to go through any of them, many, but clearly the Spirit of Christ wants to keep his glorious return on our radar screen. Should be in the back. How many times I'm going to do something, I say, well, would Jesus do this? And what happens if Jesus came back today and I was doing this, that, or the other thing? If I go there, and I believe that Jesus is coming again, and I believe I'm ready, but I want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Jesus is coming again. The promise of the wonderful reunion. Perhaps today. Perhaps. Perhaps today, and the question, are you ready for his return? Jesus is coming. Wake up, shape up, and clean up. I like that. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father God,